Hello and welcome to the Volvo Sailing Podcast. I'm Guy Swindles, and first I'd like to apologise for the tardiness in getting this latest show to you. It involved an excellent stag weekend and a lost passport. A long story. Anyway, without further ado, let's crack on. In this edition, we talk to a Volvo Ocean Race newbie, but one with a surname you may recognise. Rome Kirby, son of round-the-world legend Jerry Kirby, who takes his dad's spot on Puma for the next edition. The dinner table conversation must be interesting. We also hear how the news broke that Plymouth, the UK city, is to host a round of the America's Cup series from yachting world editor David Glenn, while Pepe Ribeth tells us about his Barcelona world race aboard Estrella Dam. But first, as always, it's the Volvo Sailing Podcast news headlines. Well, we start with the news that Telefonica is confirmed as the fifth boat for the next Volvo Ocean Race. We'll be talking about that in more detail in the next programme. It's the Spanish team's third attempt at the title under team boss Pedro Campos. Congratulations to Verbeek Piprek, the winner of the Barcelona World Race, the French boat holding off the Spaniards aboard Mapfre. The Brits enjoyed a good week in the Princess Sofia Trophy in Parma, with golds in the Finn, in the Laser and in the Star class. The USA triumphed in the women's match racing. The windsurf medals went to Spain and to the Netherlands. The French took the 49er title and the 470 gold in the men's, while New Zealand won the 470 women's event and the laser radial. Well, next we're talking to a young man who's about to head off on a first trip around the world in the Volvo Ocean Race aboard Puma, powered by Berg Propulsion. Young Rome Kirby, son of Jerry, and I began by asking Rome how this gig had come about.
To be honest, I don't know. Kenny gave me a call, and I just ended up going sailing with him on the Rambler, and I don't know. We went sailing on Rambler, and that was about it.
Now you have made the team. How have the early stages gone?
It's great so far. Everything's going pretty smoothly, so happy.
Well, I'm glad it's going well, so well to start with. Now, has this always been an ambition of yours to do the Volvo Ocean Race?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's definitely dreamed about doing the Volvo since I was a little kid following my dad around in 97, 98, so definitely something I've wanted to do since I was a little kid.
Now, you mentioned your father there. Obviously, he does have that track record. Known for being quite talkative, Jerry Kirby, has he been filling your head with advice since he heard the news?
no, he's actually been... I think he's pretty excited for me, but he's been pretty quiet. He's given me some advice more to get ready for the race, but other than that, that's about it.
Was he slightly disappointed that the other Kirby got the nod this time?
I'm sure deep down he's a little bummed, but no, I think he's happy.
Now, how are you getting on with the rest of the guys? Because you've got a very experienced team alongside you for this race.
It's great. We have an awesome team, everyone gets along well so far so good.
Now, what do you now do to fill the time before the start of the race? It sounds as if you've been busy already, but do you have a fairly hectic schedule at the moment?
Yeah, I mean, we're in the gym early in the morning and working all day more or less, just to kind of doing odds and ends, so when the boat's ready, we're all ready to go.
It must be difficult at this stage of the campaign, as you said, you're ready to go. When do you actually, do you know yet when you sail in anger in the new boat?
Sometime in May, around May-ish. So,
are you involved, Rome, in the setup of the boat at all?
Yeah, you know, when the boat comes out of the shed, I think everyone will be pretty involved in setting it up. And right now I'm doing the food and the safety gear and helping Keith Keeley, who does the rigging, and Jono. And so we're all kind of doing odds and ends and whatnot.
Now, how you've obviously had a very successful college career over there, but do you feel as if you've been a lucky at all getting this spot, or down to hard work?
I think it, of course you get lucky, but I think it also comes down to hard work. You know, I did all my dinghy sailing since I was little, and did all the big boat sailing, and, you know, just sailing 24/7, and it's a bit of both. You got, obviously you have to get the opportunity and the chance, but then you got to make the best of what you get, I guess.
Is there any particular part of the race you're looking forward to most?
Probably the Southern Ocean, Cape Horn.
All the great ones.
Yeah, so looking forward to that. I've heard some good stories about it, so finally I got to go experience it for myself and see what it's all about.
It'll be nice for you to tell your dad some stories.
Yeah, finally.
So I guess you said he'd been quiet, but it perhaps hadn't been filling head with advice. But he must be very proud of you, isn't he?
I think so. He's kept it under wraps, but I think he's pretty psyched. I mean, he said it the other day. He was pretty pumped up for me, so that's good.
So now, Rome, one dream ticked off. Is this the start of your offshore sailing in the big time career?
I'd hope so. Yeah, hopefully it's not just one and done. Hopefully I can do more, you know. Also, the Volvo's, I don't think it's, I think everyone says once you do it once, you're hooked. So hopefully it's, you get to do it more than once.
Well, yes, ask Bridget. This is her second one, and I haven't been able to give it up on the other side of the fence, let alone sailing. A final thought on your skipper, Kenny Reed.
Kenny's great. Everything's going well here in Newport. We've all been sailing together for the last 3 months, and Kenny's awesome. Extremely talented, really smart, and hopefully we can put some good things together and have a good run at this thing.
This week, as usual, we're joined by someone from Yachting World, but not our usual correspondent, Matt Sheehan, who's decided to go off skiing. So we've gone up a few levels. We're going to talk to the editor, David Glenn, because David was down in Plymouth for the recent announcement that the America's Cup World Series is coming to the UK and indeed Plymouth. And, David, you were down there. What happened and what was the atmosphere like?
Well, it came like a bolt out of the blue, actually. I was called by Tim Jeffrey from Oracle, actually, the day before, on the Thursday, I think it was. And he said, could you be in Plymouth by 10 o'clock tomorrow? And I said, is that Plymouth, England? for an announcement about the America's Cup World Series being staged there, at least one of the rounds being staged in September. So it came as a big surprise, a welcome surprise, and I hot-footed it down there to the press conference in the Holiday Inn. It was a bit bizarre. There weren't many international journalists, but plenty of locals. And Plymouth City Council was well represented, as well as the America's Cup World Series. Richard Worth presented, and off he went. And it was as simple as that. And we have a, I think it's 10-day regatta in mid-September, on Plymouth Sound. It's a brilliant thing. I think Plymouth have been extremely bold. I'm not entirely sure what they've paid for it, but I think they've got a bargain. And if all 15 turn up, it could be quite spectacular.
Now, what you have to ask, sort of in the face of some pretty impressive and spectacular places around the planet where they could have gone, what did Plymouth bring to the party, if you like?
Well, I think first of all, they brought an amphitheatre. There is no doubt that if you stand on Plymouth Hoe, which the raised part of the a piece of ground which overlooks the main harbour. Plymouth Sound is protected by the famous breakwater, of course. Anybody who's done the Fastnet will know about that. And two very high, elevated pieces of ground either side of the Great Sound. It really is, from a land-based spectator point of view, unbeatable. And Richard Worth made the point that he thought it was the finest arena in the world. It sounded like a bit of an exaggeration. He may have been playing to the audience there. But nonetheless, one has to agree that the sound in the right conditions could be quite... Well, it could be perfect for this sort of thing. Especially as, of course, the idea is for short, sharp races on pretty restricted courses, so they're not going to be charging off into the distance, they're going to be right there under your nose.
Now, what does this mean for British sailing, if you like, to get something like the America's Cup Series to these shores, particularly perhaps given that Team Origin won't be there, if you like? So how important is it to keep the America's Cup alive in the UK?
Well, of course, it is a terrific disappointment that we are not going to be represented, or at least at the moment. There's no sign of a British team, although I did hear from one or two people who are in the know that something is happening in the background. But that aside, I think just the fact that this circus is arriving in Britain will be a terrific boost to awareness of what's going on in the evolution of the America's Cup. It is, after all, changing completely. I have to say that I gave it a bit of a going over in the magazine and possibly online when they changed from monohulls to multihulls, and I will stand by that until I see the multis match racing properly. And if the fascination in the competition still is maintained, I may well be eating my words. But having said that, it does bring to Britain, you know, it has to be said, the pinnacle of yacht racing. It's a sort of greatest show on earth. With the Olympics next year, we have America's Cup this year, Olympics next year, and of course an America's Cup final in San Francisco the following year. There's, you know, sailing is very much up in lights, and if they can get this format right, it's going to mean a heck of a lot for the sport in general, and by that I mean it might attract TV audiences which would satisfy the big players. So yeah, it's a great move for the locals and anybody on the, you know, who's keen on, you know, top line exciting sailing. You've got to be in Plymouth in September, there's no doubt about that. Little problem, overlaps with the Southampton Boat Show, but you know, we'll just see who wins out there.
Well, we look forward to that small battle. A final thought, just on the America's Cup, the fact that they have introduced this series and it isn't all perhaps held in one small place and nobody else gets to see it, I guess that has to be important for the future of the sport as well.
Yeah, I mean, they are planning on, I think, 12 of these regattas, one in Plymouth, of course. Other cities in Europe include, I think, Parma and Valencia, and Sicily is going to host one, I believe. Middle East, Far East, China, of course, is in terms of the cup itself, so I'm sure there will be... and is going to be an act out there. And of course there will be an act or a round of the World Series in San Diego this year. I think there are three this year, including Plymouth and San Diego, and the first one is of course in Cascais in August. So the first event will be in Europe, and then move to the UK, and then next year there should be a further six or eight rounds of the World Series before, of course, we move into 13. It's rushing up on us for the final, for the match. So it's all been pushed on a bit. There's been a lot of delay, and there is still some uncertainty about venues. This is for all sorts of reasons. I think it's, you know, deals being done with host towns and cities. Bit of an issue. The cost of it has been an issue. Now we have a possible 15, a requirement for 15 boats. So the pressure's on in Auckland, where they're being built, to get them out in time. That is quite an issue. And I think for that, that's one of the reasons why this whole thing's been moved on a bit. There's been a bit of a, there's been a hiatus, and that hiatus has been, has made people suspicious. They're saying, well, you know, have they got it together? What's going on? But here we are. We have some announcements, some hard facts. I think they've had a tough time getting it together, but hey, let's be positive and you know, welcome the fleet to Plymouth in September. They will have had a shakedown in Qashqai, so that's good news too. So, yeah, you can follow this whole thing. They did actually tell me down there that there's even a chance that it may return to Plymouth, possibly next year, if it goes really well. They haven't put that out of the equation. If it goes really well, they could get yet another act or another round here in Plymouth before the match in 30 minutes.
Okay, finally the Barcelona World Race, and we spoke to Estrella Damm's Pepe Ribeth before the event, so we thought we'd hear from him after a third place finish for him and Alex Payer. Our thanks to our friends at the Barcelona World Race for the audio. The questions come from Andy Robertson.
I'm very happy. No, today very happy. It's a very good day for us and for the team. Before the start, we thought we could be seventh very, very easy. We don't have to forget that there's a big names that have been left in the race course, so very happy. We had one problem that it cut our race in half, was the broken the furler, but after that our sailing has been, I think it's been quite good. We have been always going forward, and is that then what you have in your mind, that you've been able to go forward every time?
So you'll walk away today with no regrets other than the one problem?
Well, I know we've been learning to make decisions. That is, normally is not in our... When I'm in a Volvo boat, I don't have any decision. I just do what someone tells me to do. So it's been a learning curve very steep for us, and we make a lot of mistakes. And I think it's a learning curve for the next time. We know how to prepare the next time much better than this one.
Tell us a little bit. You were saying about the St. Helena high and the way down. Just describe what you feel about that now.
When we in the way down, well, we had a lot of information and we were very close to have the decision to go to the right, but there was a moment that they were stopped and we were not sure 100%. And there was one boat coming in the right. It was Mafre. There was two boats stopping and there was six boats coming in the left. So we went to the left to protect the left. We were not sure, and it's what we did. Tactics, not the strategy.
Absolutely, but it must have been a strange moment because you were leading at that point.
Yes, but when you're in the boat, there's no difference of leading or not leading. It's you have your rhythm, and there's not big difference in the position that you are in. The life on board is the same.
And tell us then a little bit how you felt going into Wellington and knowing you had to stop and then coming out again. How was the change of rhythm?
Yeah, that was the worst day of the race. That was the worst day of the race because you have to change your mind, and we knew that this was going to be a big loss because we lost one day before that we didn't been able to pass the high pressure with Mafre. I think we were 70 miles behind or something, and they passed and we stopped and we had to go upwind around the high pressure, and after we left with no wind and after the cyclone comes. So I think in Wellington we lose 5 days or 6 days. If we didn't stop in Wellington, we will be here 3 or 4 days ago.
Just sum up the whole adventure with Alex.
I think it's an unbelievable race. It's a very tough race, really, really tough. You have to come here really, really prepared. I think we did a very good preparation because the boat is here. We didn't have a lot of big problems. It's just one problem that marked our race, and I think I love to do it again. I would like to do it again with another boat, faster boat, because when you come with a faster boat, it helps a lot with the decision making, because you can make some mistakes and still be very fast. So, but this boat has been unbelievable. We've been treating this boat very hard. Like we've been sailing this boat very hard, and we had no problems.
What about coming back and seeing your little boy today?
It's good. I don't know if he knows me, because he's been screaming all morning, but it's much bigger than it was when I left it. So, no, I have a lot of time to catch up now.
Well, that's it for this latest edition of Jibe Talking. Please join us next time when we'll have all the latest from the world of sailing. But remember to check in at regular intervals to www.volvooceanrace.com.